Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands. And
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. No sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Good morning, welcome in. Saturday Suckage, the WB Club, soon to become the Calling BS Club. But first, let's take roll. Don Cooper.
If I can suck, suck, I'll tell you suck.
Less.
It sucks and it freebases.
Mike Tomlin.
A sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora. Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, he's to pick me after the
game. Pat Fitzgerald.
James Dean.
Aloy.
Hey, you guys know what I mean. You guys suck. When I got a trade for the next day, oh, welcome to the South team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Mark Grody!
Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks! I was just talking to the Score overlord, Mitch Rosen, and he wanted to know if I was picking the Bears to win, and Steve, I am picking the Bears to win tomorrow. And I don't always pick the Bears to win, but I am picking the Bears to win tomorrow because I don't think the Green Bay Packers are organized yet. Yeah, they're good, and they're probably going to be a lot better as the season goes on. But
But if you really dig into the Packers game so far this year, they have been far from dominant, and I think that they are there for the taking tomorrow. Good morning, Steve.
Wow, Mark Rohde picking the Bears. Look at that. Well, I suspect they have an excellent chance of doing that. I'm kind of with you on that. I would not be surprised the way I normally am. And like, it's okay, there's Aaron Rodgers. There you go. It's all over, and they just melt. But I'm attributing this. I can't rely solely on football stuff. We'll talk about football stuff.
Yeah.
But I think omens have to play a part in this, because playing, you know, football stuff, it's never worked against Aaron Rodgers. As soon as they get to 21 points, the Bears lose. They suck. Yeah. That's just what happens. Matt Nagy is whatever he does, whatever. BU is be a loser against Aaron Rodgers. But and I have some football reasons why. But I think I want to share this with everyone. I want to start the show with this. This is sort of the Stevie Sunshine Bears look at Aaron Rodgers. Today, this weekend, marks the 15th anniversary of this.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? Shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Call me.
Thanks, Coach. So, if as the planets align, the moon is in Jupiter, and the age of Aquarius is upon us, come on. This weekend, that's this has to be it, right? Doesn't it have to be it?
It does, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I think it is going to be because of a turnover, not one caused by Aaron Rodgers, because he typically just doesn't do that against the Bears in terms of throwing interceptions. But I do think that there will be a loose football at some point in time, scoop and scored by the Bears. So I think things are going to you have to have that against the Packers. You just can't, like head-to-head, the Bears have shown through the years. Look, Green Bay... And I'm just going to do this once, and then I'm going to stop doing this. Green Bay has won 19 of their last 22 games against the Bears. On Aaron Rodgers' watch, Green Bay is 21-5 against the Bears. So I'm done with that. So it's going to take a little something extra, but I think the Bears are in that mode right now. They've had that little bit of kick and momentum. And I think that something like that is going to have to occur. And I would also like to see a little bit, like, just a little bit more out of Justin Fields. Like, a little bit more than 6 yards per attempt on the average from him. So you're going to need a big throw or two. But this game is going to be won because the Bears are going to have force a couple of turnovers. And I do believe one of those will end up in the end zone.
Wow.
Yeah, I've really thought about this, Steve.
I know. And in going back and looking at last year's, the Week 17 game, that was a beatable Aaron Rodgers. He should have thrown three picks. The Bears missed three interceptions. So it's not like he's doing the whole Tom Brady thing, although they beat Tom Brady last year because Tom Brady couldn't count to four or five. But the Aaron Rodgers accuracy show wasn't so much. There was the Barkevious Mingo and Eddie Jackson and Kendall Vildor. They had a chance to make this guy look like a Bears quarterback, frankly. They had a chance to make him look like Jay Cutler in this series, and they didn't. But you now say that changes tomorrow.
I do, and I also think that one of the things that the Bears have to beware of is not, and I was talking about this yesterday, obviously, Davante Adams is number one with a bullet, and Jalen Johnson will likely be, hopefully be, following him wherever he goes. But it seems like it's always some of the other weapons, like unexpectedly, where some massive play occurs with between Aaron Rodgers and, say, oh, Randall Cobb, perhaps a Robert Tonyan, even a Mercedes Lewis coming up with something. Everyone, Aaron Jones, a big part of the passing game still. So those are guys that you have to watch out for, too, because you don't want to let those, like, on some massive, like, wide-open type of play. We've seen it many times through the years. So, obviously, stop Adams, but don't leave somebody else wide open 30 yards down the field and just beware of everything. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Bears' fresh defensive coordinator, Sean Desai, goes about disguising his defenses and seeing what he could, because this is brain on brain. I mean, Sean Desai's big brains against Aaron Rodgers' big brains, and that's what it comes down to. I think both would be eligible for a degree of doctorate hype.
Do you think Mike Pettine, no more important of a consultant this week than ever for the Bears, do you think he can get into the brain that is Aaron Rodgers? Do you think he can help Sean Desai design a defense that could, again, put them in position? They were in position to get three interceptions last year without Mike Pettine's input and Eddie Jackson, and they blew it. They just didn't make those plays. So do you think, in what ways might Pettine help Sean Desai design that defense to make it even rougher on Rodgers?
Pettine probably can help Sean Desai for sure, but I actually think more, he's going to help the Bears offense and what they can exploit defensively for the Green Bay Packers, and, you know, huddle up with Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor and say, hey, when I was with the Packers and you guys did this, that didn't really scare us or affect us much, but when you did this, that was pretty good, we got to admit. So I actually think that, yes, of course, he's been advising and doing whatever he has done, because our conversations with Mike Pettine are scarce to none. He's been advising the defense every single week, but I think this is a week where he had to have been involved in all of the position player meetings at some point in time. And they've downplayed it. You know, the Bears have, you know, they've kind of just gone with the, oh, yeah, we use him every week, and he's part of this team, so, yeah, this is no different than any other week. Of course it's different than any other week. Pettine knows the Packers inside and out offensively and defensively. So if that doesn't give them some sort of edge, then that's kind of useless.
Talked about Justin Fields and seeing more out of him. You're not going to see more out of him unless he can run the ball. And they're running out of running backs, as it turns out. The Packers are just ahead of the Bears in fewest rushing yards allowed, and they're both just outside the top 10 defensively. What do you think Khalil Herbert? No, he's not a hockey player. Khalil Herbert brings. What can he do? It seems vital that they have to just make attempts to run the ball. They can't get off it quick. They can't be Matt Nagy in this running attempt. No matter how bad it looks at first, they have to be Bill Lazor, and they have to keep plugging away, because every running attempt is a positive thing in that it helps wear down the Packers, and it helps in some way it's going to help Justin Fields. So how capable? I mean, I guess we don't know, but the good thing is the Packers don't know either.
Yeah, based on what we saw last week from Khalil Herbert, you know, he's been, from the second he walked into OTAs and rookie minicamp, he's been very impressive, and there's a very natural quality about him. I remember just watching him field kickoffs during Bourbon A, when they had like six different guys lined up taking turns to see who was going to be best at it or best suited for the job, and Herbert stood out for his ability to not look like a rookie and seemingly understand and pick things up very quickly. Like, he's a really smart kid. So he was successful in that realm. And then we saw what we saw last week when he was over 70 yards rushing. What he is particularly good at is following his blockers and letting them lead the way for him. He's not going to be back there trying to improvise or dance around or come out of the blocking scheme and, you know, shoot to the outside and be shoved out of bounds or something like that. He is very natural in that ability. And then he's got that, you know, not to the David Montgomery level, but that don't go down thing. The part that I think a lot of us are wondering about is, can he catch passes in an NFL game? Because that's really important to have that ability when you have a young quarterback in Justin Fields to have that outlet. He has not caught a pass yet. However, saw plenty of that in training camp and preseason, and he seemed to be rather adept at it. So I'll be honest with you, I'm looking really forward to seeing what Khalil Herbert is like when he, you know, presumably gets the full load of carries for the Bears. But he's impressive, and I will tell you this too, Steve. I got a chance to spend some one-on-one time with Khalil Herbert yesterday, and we'll air on our pregame show on WBBM, and you'll probably hear it on The Score too at some point in time tomorrow morning. Very impressive kid.
Okay, so a well-made point about his ability to catch passes. The other one is, can he pick up the blitz? Do we have what examples do we have? What data points do we have that Justin Fields will be safe with this rookie in the backfield and being able to pick up a blitz and keep Justin Fields upright?
He seems to be a good blocker, and going off of last week's game against the Raiders, and then in talking to him, he takes that really seriously. He says, like, he told me yesterday, his number one job is to protect number one. So, and he was adamant about that. Like, he offered that to me. I wasn't really pushing him for that necessarily. Like, we were talking about blocking, but he got into it and said that that's, you know, he understands that, yeah, of course, he'd like to rush for 100 yards. But he knows, he understands that, you know, his self-worth or his a huge part of the evaluation with Justin Fields out there is going to be at the last second many times to protect that man. So that's obviously a huge part. And at this point, the Bears don't want, because Justin Fields, and look, he's practiced in full all week this week, but I do go back to the beginning of the week when Justin Fields told us, when we asked him about his knee a couple of times, he said, I'll be fine by Sunday. In other words, the knee probably isn't 100%, nor are the ribs. So to design tons of run plays or to want him running in the open field may not be as plentiful against the Packers.
Well, how are you going to get the yards? You're going to get the yards. If they, as long as they have to account for his threat of running, there's still going to be opportunities. Then you take away from one area, Justin Fields seems like he's smart enough and daring enough to hold the ball till he can throw downfield. And there was a stat that came out this week that showed how that he leads the league. He's thrown deep on 11 of 72 attempts, and next-gen stats from the NFL at 15.3%, that's the highest rate in the NFL. And when you get, you know, when you hear the criticism about he holds on to the ball too long, well, that's why. He wants to make the chunk plays. Yep. And that's just, that's one of the things that goes along with that. So I think that's the price you pay. But we need to take a break. As we broadcast from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers, and the Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. That Tech Zone number is 312-644-6767. That's also the same number that you can call us here on the Score. We have, that's the Score listener line number. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit the BetQL.com or visit BetQL.com. And of course, it's called the Score Listener Line because we have one member of our audience and that's it. We have one listener. So that's his number. Later on in the show, we'll talk with Chris Emma of the Score at 11:35. We will talk more Bears with him. Paul Sullivan, we'll talk baseball. Tom Ricketts wrote a letter, and Tony La Russa came off with disingenuous crap. And we'll talk Bulls. Bulls are going to play.
About that?
Bulls. They won the preseason. We'll talk with Rick Camp. And
and we'll talk some Bulls with him. And again, there are two. Now there is a second omen about how the Bears can conquer Aaron Rodgers. Caesar, do we have the Dennis Green? We need to play that again, and I'll follow it up with the second omen that Mark alerted us to. So the first one is that this is the weekend. Today is the anniversary of this, one of the all-time great post-game rants.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
Funny every time.
And it is. Can't play enough of that. 15th anniversary. That happened today. That's just outstanding. And the second item is that Aaron Rodgers never had to face the Bears when the starting quarterback was named Uno and had had its own Instagram page.
Yeah.
Your tweet alerted me to that. So I think we need an in-depth... I don't know what else is there on Uno's Instagram. Have you investigated Uno's Instagram page?
I'll be honest with you. I have not done a deep dive. I've done very surface-level work. So I don't know. Maybe during the break I can do that. But, I mean, I did. Yeah, the breaking news this week was that Justin Fields is the one running Uno's Instagram account. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers can beat Uno. You know, it's one thing to beat Jay Cutler and Mitch Trubisky and all the rest of the quarterbacks getting out of the clown car, but Uno. Come on, Uno's there watching tape. Uno's at home watching tape.
Yeah.
Uno's at home with Justin Fields. He is thy quarterback's keeper. So I don't think Rodgers has ever gone up against that. The weekend of the Dennis Green rant and Uno. Everything's coming up Bears.
Don't you think Aaron Rodgers, when he plays the Bears for the first time every season and it's a different quarterback, he kind of like rubs his hands and goes, okay, what are they trotting out this year? Yeah, it's like Mitchell Trubisky, okay, what do we got? Jay Cutler before, okay, they're going to try this now. So hopefully Justin Fields is of a different stature against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
I'm sure he looks, but I think he's more concerned with this is what, how can I manipulate their safeties?
Yeah.
How can I create open space?
Is Chris Conte still playing with the Bears?
That's right.
That's what he says.
I think that's what's more important to him. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, more Suckage. Steve Rosenblum and Mark Rohde, thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Saturday Suckage. Coming up at 11:40, we'll talk with Chris Emma of The Score. We'll talk Bears. We're talking Bears now. Look, they have a chance to be in first place all alone. Never in your wildest dreams would you have expected that. Justin Fields is your quarterback. And Jalen Johnson is your cornerback, Mark Rohde. Let's talk about that guy. And he says he only wants the best receiver. That's it. The best receiver on Green Bay has more catches, yards, and TDs than the entire Bears receiving corps. So, that's a guy. That's a guy. Dude, how do you think the Bears, how do you think Sean Desai and Jalen Johnson, how do you think they tell Jalen Johnson they're going to defend Davante Adams? What do you think they do?
Well, I do think, just based on some of the things that Sean Desai has done already this year, that it is a good chance that Jalen Johnson will be told, you go wherever he goes. And look, it's pretty, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, he's having a terrific year already. I mean, you just laid it out pretty well. And Johnson is going to there's going to be help from safeties. There probably will be double teams at times and adjustments made along the way if Jalen Johnson is overwhelmed by it. But that's the whole thing. He's so far this year, Johnson, for the most part, and he's gotten beaten a couple times that he, including one that would have been beaten last week if the Raiders didn't have a case of the dropsies on a couple of plays last week that maybe even would have been a touchdown at one point. But I think they will start with him on him, say you stick with him, and if things are not going well in the first half, they will switch it up because Sean Desai has shown that because we all want adjustments out of our coaches, right? He has shown a tendency to adjust and change things up when things aren't going well. But it is the proverbial case of try to contain him as much as possible and don't let him beat you and don't let him get over. He's going to get his, but you just got to minimize it.
I always, you mentioned Robert Tonyan earlier, mm-hmm. and that's always the thing that the two most vexing parts of Aaron Rodgers are this. No matter what the Bears knew about how dangerous Jordy Nelson was, he was still open deep. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Come on. And the other thing is, okay, if he's not, then the tight end's open. How do you not cover that guy? How is that guy open? How does that happen? And I keep coming back to that saying, well, if there's, do you take away the two guys? Who does that leave open? Do you really try, if Davante Adams has that great a percentage of what Aaron Rodgers does, then don't you do whatever you can to smother him and dare everyone else, including Robert Tonyan, to beat you? Isn't that a way to do that?
It is a way to do it, but like I said, the Bears have gotten burned in the past by huge plays to tight ends or alternate receivers. It has happened for sure. You're right, though. On the overall, that's the way to do it. I mean, dare them to beat you in other ways, and don't let Davante Adams rack up 200 yards like he did last week. So it's definitely a sound game plan, but it's not like Aaron Rodgers hasn't circumvented that in the past, and he will continue to do it. The other part that I think Aaron Rodgers, like every single time against the Bears, there are the dreaded near sacks where Aaron Rodgers has that sort of deceptive ability to be elusive, getting out of the pocket, getting away from the pressure. Even as he ages, he is still so good at that. Not only getting out of the pocket and escaping the pressure, but then getting loose and then finding when it's the all play for the receivers and everybody's just trying to get open on the playground, he finds those guys. And that's where you have to stick with your men and stay on your assignments and do not underestimate Aaron Rodgers' ability to find those guys in tight space when everybody's scrambling for his sake. And he is so good at that. And we've seen the Bears burned by that so many times on Aaron Rodgers' watch. And then the other part, too, is, you know, you and I both mentioned Jalen Johnson. It's a big day for Kendall Vildor as well. You said he had, you know, the near pick last year against Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Vildor is not Jalen Johnson. He is not as good. He is up and down in his second year in the NFL, but he's going to have some huge assignments tomorrow as well. So it's a big day for him, especially if you are daring other guys on the field to beat you.
You're talking about Aaron Rodgers just basically gracefully eluding a sack.
Yep.
And all of a sudden there's Julius Peppers just missing, and there's Chris Conte playing the wrong defense.
I mean, and always,
Randall
always.
Randall Cobb is going.
Yeah, you got him. Right. You got the crowds going crazy like there's a sack has occurred. And no, he's still free. He's still looking, caught downfield. And it's like, oh, deflation. So that's what you have to, like, if Sean Desai has stressed one thing, stay with your guys. He will find these guys if you are not glued to them for the entire play. I don't care how tired you are. Stay with your guy.
Stay with your... Okay.
That's right.
So I don't understand this. Maybe you do. We can investigate this earlier. A texter, our text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. 312-644-6767. Steve, can you please play Les's explanation last week of what a Kraken is, meaning the Seattle Kraken, the NHL's expansion team?
Why was I not aware of this? I am not aware.
I'm not aware of it either. Caesar?
Grobber and I actually had a conversation about the Kraken, I think, at one point in time. I don't know if that's what he's alluding to, like way, like a while back.
Does this sound familiar to you at all?
It does, and I'm working right now and trying to find it. I'll bring it up as soon as I can here.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, we can do that later. For now, we'll take a break.
Yeah.
And we will welcome to the discussion Chris Emma. He will enter the chat as we talk Bears Packers, or as Darnell Mooney straightened everybody out, didn't he, about the rivalry?
Yes, he did. You want to hear
share
that
with
cut?
The class.
Well, yeah. So a reporter asked Mr. Darnell Mooney, say, hey, what, you know, something along the lines of what are your thoughts of the Packers-Bears rivalry? And Darnell Mooney shot back, well, first of all, it's Bears-Packers, not Packers-Bears.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
That is
almost like the coach himself, who used to have a special meeting with the team. It's Packer week. Everybody clench your rectums. It's Packer week.
Well, and the thing is, man, it's hard to get guys to really feel this rivalry, like players, just because they're, you know, most of them are not from here. A lot of the guys with, that we asked are maybe in their first or second or even third years of the Bears, so they don't honestly feel that heat, and especially since there weren't fans last year. So it's hard to get, like, the responses that we want. And, but Darnell Mooney gave us one. He was definitely the only guy who gave us a little something about the rivalry.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I like that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about the Bears-Packers rivalry with Chris Emma.
That's right.
Saturday 2nd, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What do you think of when you hear Packers-Bears rivalry?
I hear Bears versus Packers first. And, I mean, it's an extreme thing. I love the culture of it, and I want to be able to win every time, so... we didn't get that at all last year. I didn't understand the culture as much last year, but I definitely understand it now for sure.
That's it. That's Darnell Mooney, and he's telling you it's Bears Packers, and he understands the culture. The culture is basically we always lose to Aaron Rodgers because he keeps finding the guy we know he's going to find, and we don't know why we can't cover him. And our quarterbacks always suck. But Darnell Mooney is part of changing that. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. We're going to the Scores Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We welcome in the Scores, Chris Emma. Chris is here, and it's the, listen, mister, it's Bears-Packers rivalry, and Darnell Mooney is having none of your questions about whether that culture exists or not. He knows where the culture is, sir. Welcome.
Bears, Chris. Packers, not Packers, Bears. I'm not making that mistake ever again. I've learned.
Yeah, you should. So what's different this time?
I think the Bears have a chance tomorrow because I see the offense, even without David Montgomery, even without Tariq Cohen, even without Damian Williams now, having some kind of identity of running the football. And you saw a more engaged and much improved offensive line last week in Las Vegas. I don't think the Raiders are a particularly good football team right now, but you really saw the roots of something that is much better offensively than it was a few weeks ago. And Bill Lazor is doing a terrific job calling this offense and sticking with it. So if the Bears can control the clock the way they did the last couple weeks and keep Aaron Rodgers off the field as much as they possibly can, I think they can hang around. I think it's going to come down to the wire in the fourth quarter.
Did you pick the Bears to win, Chris? Let's get this out of the way.
I did not, but I was on the fence. I said 24-20 Packers because that guy wears number 12 for them. He's pretty good, and he tends to be clutch late in a ballgame. So I tend to trust the Packers to come through in this one, but I was trying to make a case for the Bears, and I came darn close to picking them.
Understandable, man. I totally get it. What do you think? What do you expect out of Justin Fields in this game?
I think more of the same. You know, it's continued progress and growth for him individually while this offense continues to try to flourish around him. And I think you're going to see a lot of Khalil Herbert. I think he's going to be the focus of this offense. But with that comes opportunities with the passing game, and we've seen the Bears properly use the run to set up the pass. Green Bay's secondary has not been a strength by any stretch, and I think there's going to be some opportunities for big plays, like you saw a couple weeks ago against the Lions. You know, some of those big chunk plays of 20, 30, 40 yards. Darnell Mooney is going to be active, and Allen Robinson, I know he's coming off this injury concern this week. I would be surprised if he does not play. He's a guy who's durable. He seems to be able to get himself out there, and I think he's going to be productive if he's healthy.
What do you think of Khalil Herbert's ability to pick up the blitz and catch passes? We were discussing that earlier, and those two are vital parts of the running game beyond running.
You know, your co-host today, Mark Grody, and I got to talk with Khalil Herbert this week, and he's very soft-spoken, you know, not doesn't go too in-depth in a lot of things, but I enjoyed hearing him asking and talking about running the football and the vision. And he said every run is like a work of art. And he was basically trying to describe the process of reading what's coming his way when he gets that football and the process of understanding which hole to hit, whether he needs to hesitate a moment to let something open up or whether he just attacks. And you saw it last week in Las Vegas. This guy has a knack for running the football. He is a veteran in his first year. This guy understands what it takes to get the kind of gains that he's needing. He's not somebody who's going to be, you know, rushing to one spot because that's where it's supposed to go. He understands the vision and the patience part of it. And I've been really impressed by that. And then you mentioned it, Rosie, the idea of getting him involved in the passing game. And he's got to be that option who's on the wing of Justin Fields when, you know, if those first and second reads aren't open, Herbert's going to be the one catching the football. So I see him heavily involved tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm glad that you and I are seeing him the same way, because there is a very, like, even from the beginning of camp, a very natural flow to his game. He's got an unflappability, like you said, when we talked to him yesterday, and I got a chance to talk to him off to the side. I mean, he's just a very smooth competitor, everything about him. But Chris, I want to ask you about one little area of the game here. So the Green Bay defense is bad on third down and in the red zone. The Bears offense is bad on third down and in the red zone.
It's a shame anyone has to win this.
Is it a wash, or who do you see having the edge in that case?
You know, that's a great question, and it might just come down to that. I mean, you're exactly right. And look, I think you see such a big difference in this offense with Bill Lazor compared to Matt Nagy. And I mean, no disrespect to Matt Nagy, who made the right decision in giving up the play calling, but Bill Lazor understands game flow. He knows what to run each next play. He's not panicking on his Denny's menu in front of him. He's not doing this or that that throws the offense out of whack. And I think the red zone execution is going to continue to be much better under Bill Lazor, because the entire offensive flow is stronger under Bill Lazor. And to that point, it's the ability of getting into third and manageable, or, you know, converting on first and second down to a point where you got third and one and two instead of third and eight or nine and you're backed up. Obviously, a lot of that, too, in this offensive line and this offense as a whole comes down to avoiding penalties that keep pushing you back. They need to have much better execution. It's easier to do when you're at home, and avoid those costly mistakes that kind of get you back into third and long situations. But to answer your question, I think the Bears are in a much better spot here offensively as a whole, and I think that includes the red zone.
Our guest is Chris Emma of The Score, and we're on The Score. What were the odds of that on Saturday's Suckage? Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. So the Lions are a bad team. The Raiders have plummeted to a bad team because of their sick coach and horrible ownership and whatever is going on there. I believe, and Mark and I talked about it when the Gruden news broke near the end of the show yesterday, that it could affect the Bears. It could affect the Raiders. We weren't sure how it was going to go, how you look at that guy, how he coaches that game. And it seemed the Bears were able to take advantage of a team. And if it wasn't complete free fall, it probably will be soon. So how do you judge that when facing a chance, when this team is facing a chance to play for sole possession of first place in the division?
Yeah, you certainly got a greater context of what the Bears were really up against last week, and I thought they were going to lose that ball game. I thought the Raiders were going to come out and respond after that Monday night game, the Bears game against the Chargers, and obviously things unfolded really quickly on Gruden and his staff. I don't know at what point last week was he aware of what was coming out and whether he was could have been sure or not that he was going to be out of that job in the coming days. You wonder what kind of distraction it really was. Certainly it was out by Friday where it interrupts some of your game preparation. And obviously, who cares what, in terms of the game results from the Raiders' perspective. They have much bigger issues, and John Gruden deserved to be out of his position after that. From the Bears' perspective, yeah, I think they beat a depleted and struggling team. It seemed like a great win at the time. Maybe it's not as big of a win in context. In terms of tomorrow, there's some juice for the Bears. They deserve it. I mean, they're 3-2. They've won three in a row, playing some good ball here, and you've got your rivals coming to your home field. And the Bears are just in a much better position offensively, as I'm just going to keep reiterating it, than they were a few weeks ago. You got a chance when you're playing complimentary football. You have three faces playing pretty well right now. They have to feel good about their opportunity here.
It's crazy that we're saying that, too. And you're right, Chris, that the offense is in a good place. It's crazy that we're saying that. With Allen Robinson, he's made some big catches this year, but he's, relatively speaking, he's barely been targeted. And he was their identity previous to this year. You know what I mean? Since he's been here, whenever somebody's asked me the question, what's the Bears' offensive identity, number 12 was the only thing that I could point to. And Chris, I still think they have to, maybe that's the step I think Justin Fields needs to take, is to include more people in the passing game, including Allen Robinson, because no matter how professional he is, deep down inside, he wants the damn ball too.
Yeah, I mean, there's an evolution coming for Justin Fields, and I don't know if it's going to come tomorrow or the week after that, but at some point later this season, you're going to look at him as a different quarterback when he gets that passing game truly clicking. Right now, he's using the running game to set up those opportunities in the pass, and I know you saw him hit on that 2 weeks ago against Detroit. Obviously, not a ton of yards last week in Las Vegas, but I think he's going to start putting up some yardage and really is converting in the passing game as we go along with this season. And you're right, Mark. Allen Robinson's the missing piece to this. He has 17 catches right now. I mean, this is a guy who had 200 catches the last two seasons. So he's not been involved with the offense. You excuse it because it's a rookie quarterback who's still figuring things out. But yeah, that missing piece is right there. And once they get him heavily involved, I think you're going to see Fields really start taking off. It's going to work hand in hand. And it's nice that Fields has that connection with Darnell Mooney, and it's really paid off so far. Mooney looks terrific.
Yep.
But once they get this passing game really clicking, you're going to see Allen Robinson as a key part of that.
Chris Emma, the Score, joins us. Steve Rosenblum and Mark Rohde talking Bears here. So that Mooney, that Fields-Mooney connection, I don't know if I should make more of it, if it's making too much of it, but the 3rd-and-12 pass to Mooney, sat down right where he needed to sat down. The ball was right there, 13 yards, first down, a huge play, and showed their connection, showed the connection they have. And I don't know if I'm making too much of it, but that just seemed, you know how you circle plays, you circle games, you circle meaningful moments. That seemed like one to me for a lot of reasons. Or was that just another completion?
No, I don't think so. And I'll put it in the context of Darnell Mooney here. Consider where this kid came from as a rookie last season, a fifth-round pick who didn't have any offseason program, had half of a training camp, and he stepped in week one and made an impression and continued from there. This is a guy you bet on. This is a guy you trust and believe in. Going into this past offseason, he said he wanted to improve himself as a route runner, and you're seeing the dividends. He's much better as a route runner. He learned from guys like Allen Robinson, trusted the coaching of Mike Furry, and came out with the ability to separate from defenders and get himself open. And he's a guy who's just going to continue to get better and better. He surprised as a rookie. He certainly, like I said, he made that kind of strong impression where you really believed he could be your number two alongside Robinson. And I think he's just going to continue to grow. Justin Fields has a great connection with him. They trust each other. They're building a friendship off the field, which I think is important for a quarterback and a receiver when you want to keep building with those guys. Darnell Mooney's just going to keep improving and keep, I don't know if I'm going to say surprising anymore. I don't think anything he does is a surprise at this point.
Chris, I know that you are an appreciator of
Les Grobstein, just like Steve Rosenblum, just like me. So we are being told that from the 224, you will love Les and the Kraken story. From the 262, Kraken is at 4:48 in the morning on Tuesday. Some stupid with a flare gun from Lake Geneva. And from the 262, if you guys want another clip of Les butchering Layla's name, go back to about 4:06 a.m. on Tuesday. Lahela Remy, LOL. Also, Les's explanation of a K. So I just, Chris, I know you as appreciator of Grobber, I just wanted to give you something to look forward to later on our show.
No, no, no. It's right after we get done with Chris. Oh. It's going to come at the top of the next hour.
Oh.
Caesar found it, and it's a thing. It's.
I will be here for that. I will be listening. I will be enjoying.
Is Notre Dame playing today, Chris?
They're off. I need to find. Maybe I go apple picking or find pumpkins or something. I don't know what people do on Saturdays where you don't have a football team.
Wait a minute. Single guys don't go apple picking. Come on, man.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a bad college football slate today.
Okay. You're the
no,
best,
I would. I would say you could rent someone's kid and go apple picking, and that would be in a very, very. That would be aphrodisiacal for the women who are picking apples as well. So work on that, okay, Chris?
I'll do my best.
See you tomorrow, buddy.
All right. Thanks for being the Les Grobstein pregame show, Chris M of the Score. Yeah, we're gonna take a break, and we found the question. Les's explanation of what a Kraken is.
Great.
The NHL's newest expansion team, and we're just all going to experience it together because you haven't heard it, right, Mark?
That is correct.
I have not heard it. I don't know. Much of our audience probably hasn't. Some apparently have. Some of our texters certainly have.
Yeah.
So we all want to experience that, and we don't. Maybe it's just another omen of the Bears beating Aaron Rodgers, because we found several already. And we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll see what that holds for us. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.